Welcome to the Corner of Film podcast. I'm Niall from Corner of Film, which is a film website where I write about film. Joining me today is Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Niall. All right?
Hello. I am very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah, so I mean, I sort of hinted at it on literally just on the Corner of Film Instagram story. But last week we had some real problems recording.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, so for those of you hopefully listening to the product of today, just know that we recorded the first 5-10 minutes of the podcast 3 times last week. It did not take. So this one's been a bit of a while in the making. The news, I've changed 3 times now as well.
Updated, like a newspaper.
Yeah, but I think you shouldn't notice too much. We're managing.
There's not been loads happening news-wise. There's not like crazy amount.
No, I think when you look at like movie news as well, it's mostly just stuff like, I saw something in the news when I was browsing today, and it was something about something an actor had said months ago, something about Stephen Dorff about Black Widow or something. And
right,
but that's news from months ago. That's not.
And it's just resurfaced.
Yeah, I think they get bored, don't they?
Yep.
But then here we are talking about the fact that
talking about
you know, so it might be worse, but there we go.
Who knows?
Exactly. Okay, so I suppose really we should jump straight into our first segment, which is Weekly Watches. Jack, it's actually been a month nearly since we last actually recorded an episode.
yeah, it has.
So, again, I feel like I should offer an explanation. My house is a literal building site at the moment, which has sort of put us out a little bit. But we're here, and we've now got a month worth of films to talk about. So, I know you did actually tell me, Jack, last week when we were trying to record what you'd watch.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I've watched. I've watched another one since then as well. Oh, so, three.
Three in a month.
Crazy stuff.
Okay, go on then. Run me through them.
Right. So as we previously discussed, I watched The Cable Guy for the first time, and I really did not care for it too much. But we won't go on, you know, too much into that because we have literally had that conversation 3 times for about half an hour. So, in summary, Jim Carrey, funny guy, quite like him, a little bit over the top. Matthew Broderick can get in the bin. He is just vanilla. He's so plain.
He actually popped up really unexpectedly in something I watched, and I was so inexplicably angry. Just
did you have a big part in it?
No, it was a really small part. I'll get onto it in a minute. You go ahead. What else have you?
Okay. So on the other end of the spectrum, I watched At Eternity's Gate, which is a kind of biopic, but not really, but it kind of follows Van Gogh in his later years, a bit before that, but mainly his later years. And he's played by Willem Dafoe, who absolutely like nails it. He's so good. And that was a really brilliant film, really lovely. It was quite a slow burn, but it was really, really nice. I'd recommend that highly. And then the third one, Niall.
Yeah.
I've forgotten the name of it because it's not a great. No, I know. Let me just whip up IMDb here. It was, you know what, whilst I kind of Google what I'm looking for here and I'm trying to kill some, you know, make up some time, it was Eric Andre's first, I think it was his first film. It was a Netflix one.
Oh, I saw that come up.
It was called, what was it called? No, Bad Trip. Was it Bad? Yeah, Bad Trip. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. What's it like?
Actually, I've already watched it once, but I had a friend over and who was like, we're trying to decide on what to watch, that, you know, that endless horrible problem. And I was like, I know exactly what you're like. And I put that on and it didn't fail. It was it went down well. And actually, it was just as funny the second time round. So that's good.
Oh, nice. I suppose I'd better check that out then. That's
if you like Jackass or Jackass, I hate saying that as an English person. It's that kind of thing.
With
Eric Andre sprinkled in.
Nice. Well, he's a bit of a weird dude. I like that.
Fully mental. I love him.
Okay, cool.
But what about you?
Right, so I've got quite a list, so I'm going to reel some off.
Okay.
I suppose I will say half of what I've watched, I've reviewed. So if you go on the site, you'll know what I've watched. I've watched the Fear Street trilogy.
Yeah, saw that. Well, yeah. I didn't see that, but I saw you tin that.
Yeah, the R.L. Stein the films, the Netflix ones, they were a lot better than I thought they'd be. Cool. I actually really enjoyed them. So, you know, go and check out the reviews and cool. I'll talk about them a bit more there.
They're kind of spooky.
Yeah, spooky, but not, I don't know, somewhere between horror slasher, like, it's weird. It's a very odd, it's like sort of young adult horror.
A hybrid.
Yeah, made very well, though. Just, it was a lot of fun. So, you know, that was good. I've also watched Baby Driver for the first time.
Oh, what a great film.
It was a great film. Really enjoyed it. And
especially when someone bites the dust at the end.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I got to say, I had sort of quite high expectations of it, and it did definitely deliver. So
that because it was Edgar Wright, or was it just like you'd heard good stuff?
Mostly because it was Edgar Wright, a little bit because I've heard good stuff. And also, I just thought that's exactly the sort of thing I enjoy. So,
yeah,
you know, I kind of it, but it ticked all the boxes. I really, really had fun. Then I watched, Baby Driver at about 1 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep. And then because it was then about 3 o'clock in the morning, naturally, I thought, well, I might as well just watch something else. And then I'm up for the day.
Of course.
So I put on a film that has been in my watch list for about, I don't know, 6 months, that I was sort of waiting for a time when I didn't really care what I was watching.
Yeah.
And that was Greta, which the review went up today. We're in on Tuesday, so that review's gone up this afternoon. It's a weird horror film. It's sort of labelled as a thriller, like a psychological thriller, but it's a horror film. It's basically young girl moves to New York. She's really naive, finds a bag on the subway and takes it back to this woman who turns out to be quite a wrong'un.
Yes, I remember seeing the trailer for this back. It came out a couple of years ago. I definitely want to see this one. Is it Chloe Grace Moretz?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's better than I thought it would be. It's a bit weird. I really enjoyed it, but it was very much the sort of film that if I'd watched it seriously in like early evening, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. No. But because I was so tired and I, you know, wasn't expecting too much. It was really good.
Oh, cool.
So worth a watch. I have also done, since we last recorded, we did me and my stepsons and my partner, we watched the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Hey, sick.
Which is probably my, I don't know, 50th viewing, I guess.
Yes, it's up there.
Never gets old, ever.
It really doesn't. Did they love it?
They did. They did.
Yes.
So that was good because they'd never seen it. Like they.
Oh, that's so cool.
Lord of the Rings.
I love showing people like Star Wars, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, those big films. I love showing to people who've never seen them.
Well, this is the thing, and I got to actually shout "Muster the Rohirrim," and that, now they know what I mean when I do it. So that's
nice.
That's great. One other thing I watched that Matthew Broderick popped up in was last night, the night before. Was Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, I haven't seen that either, with Casey Affleck.
Yeah, so again, it's been in my watch list forever. And
yeah,
sort of just fancied it the other night. And I don't like putting films into my like Hall of Fame reviews when I've only seen them once, because it feels a bit cheap to just watch it go, instant classic. But I think it's going to have to, because
really,
it's Casey Affleck is just excellent start to finish. He's like, I won't give anything away, but basically he is a depressed, quite unstable like handyman, and he gets a call that his brother's died and discovers that his brother's basically left him custody of his 16-year-old son. So he's suddenly looking after his 16-year-old nephew, has no idea what he's doing, can barely look after himself. And he's kind of still recovering from a personal tragedy.
Right.
Which it's all very.
Sounds like some good complex little things woven in there.
Yeah, do you know what I liked the most about it was it was like watching a little segment of someone's life.
Okay.
They sort of, it gave context with little flashback scenes and stuff that you sort of like, oh, okay, well, he's remembering when this happened or that happened or whatever. But it didn't sort of beat you over the head with exposition or anything. It kind of left you to understand what was going on, which I like. And also, you know, the tone is generally quite bleak. It's quite depressing. Yeah. It's quite, you know, there's a lot of like death and sadness and whatnot. But there was all these little moments where someone would say something really unexpectedly funny. You know, just like in real life. Like,
yeah,
you don't, no one lives a comedy film. Like, that's not
no
real life. That's, you could very much tell you're watching a film. Whereas this was, it was sad. It was a very human story, but there was just this weird sort of irreverent humor kind of just sprinkled in.
Which there is in life, like you said, like, yeah, especially in kind of dark, like, times and things are a bit awkward and weird. Humor is always, I mean, I am kind of notorious for really kind of making people uncomfortable with certain things, but I love it. It's good.
Yeah, exactly. And it really captured that sense of how people cope with grief. And it's something I think you especially would really find interesting.
Yeah, cool.
It's a tough watch in places. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
But it is very good. And
it's good to have a tough watch from time to time.
Yeah, but Matthew Broderick just randomly popped up. He was in one scene, like literally one scene, and he just sort of appeared. And he was actually quite good, but yeah, I just was so angry that he was there just to see his face.
What are you doing here, Inspector Gadget?
But he wasn't a pleasant character. He was a bit of a, you know, a Matthew Broderick sort of guy.
The Matthew Broderick.
You know, I mean, you remember what happened in the 80s in Ireland.
He wasn't behind the wheel, was he?
He wasn't in this film, thankfully. But if you're unfamiliar with his past, you know, look it up. A villain. Yeah. Okay, so I guess we'll move on to our next segment, which is Let the Games Begin. I think that's
much better.
Probably, yeah, that'll do. That'll do. Okay, so normally I prepare and bring these along, and I honestly was struggling. I came up with another trivia segment. I figured we could do some fun trivia, but yeah, I wasn't that excited about it. And I mean, you know this, Jack, because this was a conversation.
I'm aware, yep.
I'm just sharing this with our audience.
Gotcha.
I messaged Jack and said, I don't know if this is any good, but, and he said, well, I've got a great idea. And so Jack, do you want to lead this? I don't want to.
Well, I do, but then talking of unpreparedness, I was like, oh yeah, I've got a good idea. And then did a real like skeletal plan on the bus. I just haven't finished it. So it's half baked.
Just sitting on the bus doing
that's where all my great ideas come from.
Yeah. Like in 8 Mile.
Yeah, so I very much am Eminem. So, funnily enough, looking at my my notes, I've listed the components of what I wanted, but I've forgotten the overall structure. So I'm going to do...
Well, no, I've written it down.
See, this is why we work. Well, go.
On the flip of you, I have prepared some extensive notes.
As always.
So I'm going to quote exactly what was sent to me, which was, assemble your dream cast for a fantasy heist film in which our seven main characters must infiltrate and steal a dragon egg to offer the gatekeepers of blank in return for safe passage through blank.
Yeah, nice. That was it. Well done, Jack.
It's a really, really interesting concept. And I just thought this sounds like a lot of fun. So I've come up with seven actors. I've given them, I've given three of them characters.
Right.
I've sort of come up with an eighth character as well, like an extra one.
Ape.
Eight, as in.
If you said an ape, like a monkey.
No, although that would be really cool.
That
maybe
could work. There's only one guy for the job. Let's be real.
Who
circus?
Oh, I was waiting for you to say something. I
think Matthew Broderick.
Oh, let's put Broderick in a monkey suit.
Oh dear.
But no, I've come up with eight actors, in fact, and I've given four of them have got sort of specific characters. The others have just, I've given them like a role, because I'll be honest, I came up with three names that I found funny and then lost interest in naming them.
But I'm impressed you've got character names, though. I should just say, none of this. You're not getting extra points for this, because I didn't say make up characters. I just said, give me seven actors.
Well,
and once again, you're showing me up.
Technically, you said seven main characters. So, all right. You said assemble your dream cast, but you also mentioned the characters. So I wasn't really sure. So,
all right. Well, you go first.
What did you come up with ideas for your blanks? The gatekeepers of blanks.
No, I didn't. But I mean, you go first. Buy me some time again. I'm living on borrowed time here now.
Okay. So I'll tell you what. I'll pitch you mine, and you have power over this. If you want to veto a cast member, then you just get rid of them.
Okay. I'm going to be the non-disgusting Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, I mean, just stay away from my. I won't say
your leading lady.
So I basically pulled, a name out of my head, which now I'm looking at it, sounds like I may have subconsciously stolen it from a D&D campaign. But
no one would know, it's fine.
So I was thinking the Gatekeepers of Duskshire.
Because
it's just a really generic fantasy name. And
great this name.
That was sort of the last thing I named, and I was just had enough of it. But the last blank, the safe passage through, I've penciled that in as the Caverns of Wayward Magic.
Ooh, that's very nice.
Well, I thought, so naturally my brain goes straight to, how can I make this funny? I thought, the Caverns of Wayward Magic, I could just picture people walking through these caves and there's just sort of spells bouncing around off the walls. And they're just sort of like ducking their way through the dark. And I thought that was fun. So my seven actors with vague roles are, again, you can really see where I lost steam, because the first three have like backstories and then the rest are just like, yeah, they do this.
Tailed off.
So my first pick was, I don't know, maybe it's a lazy one because he has done a big fantasy thing before, but I wanted Jason Momoa because I love him.
Yeah.
He's excellent. He's got the right look for a fantasy thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, he looks like some great big ancient warrior.
Really does.
And I gave his character the name of Jareth One Ear. My notes just say, hard of hearing muscle with a heart of gold and a fondness for nature and woodland creatures. I just thought he could be like a big simpleton who's half deaf and he likes bunnies and squirrels and stuff.
He liked the comedy relief.
Yeah, sort of. But also he cleaves people's heads in half with a giant axe. So,
I mean, funny to some people.
Yeah, I mean, I would find that quite funny.
Yeah, so would I.
You know, there are people who'd find that hilarious. Second, I had, because I needed him to be in it somewhere, I didn't want to leave him out. I've also got Nicolas Cage as Mad Stanislas, because I just wanted to have him in it. And I figured if I give him a mad character, he can just be full Nicolas Cage.
He could just improvise the whole thing.
Yeah, he's also got a really impressive beard now. So,
is he?
Yeah, he, I don't know if you've seen, I've not watched the film, but I've seen like stills and a couple of clips. That pig film that he was in, I think it's just called Pig. And John Wick, but he rescues a pig or something.
Okay, of course.
And yeah, he's got a big bushy beard. So
nice.
I've just written in my notes, a forest-dwelling druid mystic with healing powers and alchemic abilities. That's all it says. But I figured like full forest dwelling crazy person, like woodland hermit, just sort of shooting.
Tom Bombadil.
Yeah, sort of like halfway between Tom Bombadil and Radagast the Brown.
Nice.
But Nicolas Cage. So, you know, it's going to be, yeah, really over the top. I then was a little bit, I sort of kind of fell into this thing of like, okay, well, these are my favorite actors and I want them in it. So
yep, same.
I kind of picked the actor and then worked out what I'd want them to do. Okay. So I had Donald Glover because I just think he's kind of the whole package. He can do serious. He can do funny. he can kind of, he can do music if you want him to do music. Why not?
Yeah.
I have him as a character called Felton the Eunuch. And it just says a master of disguise who is terrified of conflict. So I figured he can be the sort of coward of the group, but you know, like,
yeah,
almost like a shapeshifter. Like he can, that would help.
Sounds,
you
know, cool.
I think. So here I did sort of tentatively put or Nick Jonas, and then I changed my mind because I want him for something else, which I will get to.
Save him for a later role.
Yeah. So that's my first three.
Cool.
I then had Lupita Nyong'o.
Love her so much.
I've never seen anything with her in that I've not been blown away by her.
She's so good.
So I thought, again, she's not always given like any sort of, I've not really seen her do anything funny. So I was a bit, okay, well, what do I know she can do? And I was thinking of her in, have you seen Us?
I still haven't seen Us, no, but I know the premise.
It's excellent. And she plays, I mean, obviously she plays two characters, if you know the premise.
Yeah.
She plays the character and the doppelganger. And the scary doppelganger lady is, she's really creepy. She sort of moves really slowly and silently and just terrifying. So I kind of figured the best thing for her to be would be like an assassin, like a sort of quiet,
that'd be cool,
assassin. But I also wanted her as like a more warrior type. I thought she'd be fun to be like slitting throats and stuff.
Yes.
So sort of off the back of that, I figured, well, I need someone to be the actual sneaky one then. Yeah. So I cast, and I really hope I can say this properly, Hiroyuki Sanada. You know, he was in The Wolverine. He was in 47 Ronin. He's done something recently, and I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah. He's just a really excellent, like, Japanese actor.
Yeah.
And I just thought he's quite a good, like, he looks the part. Like, he would look at home in a fantasy film. And,
yeah,
you know, he's done a lot where he's using swords and stuff. So I figured save some money on training him, because he knows.
Does know.
No, I'm keeping production costs down here. Then
someone's got to do it.
Exactly. Then I jump straight to, okay, well, I don't really know who else I want in my team, so let's just pick an actor I like and we'll find them something to do. So I figured, you know who's fun? Carey Mulligan.
Who's fun? Carey Mulligan. Ooh, now.
You know, she's fun. She can be really funny, but she can also do serious. She can carry off like pretty much anything.
What would you have her play?
I thought about it for about 25 seconds, and then I just scribbled the leader, and that she's a seasoned con artist and tactician. That's all it says.
Nice.
I just thought it would be fun to have her in charge of this band of weirdos.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of all I have for her. But my last one of the seven, I couldn't decide. So it's between two actors, this one.
Yeah.
It's between Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano.
I'll get rid of Dano.
You sure? You sure?
I do love Paul Dano. He is fantastic. But so, I mean,
let me tell you my vision for the character.
Okay, go on.
It's like a spell sword type. So, you know, destructive spells, maybe. So like shooting flames out of one hand, big sword in the other or something. I was thinking like they'd have a glass eye.
Ooh.
I don't know why, that's just in my head, you know. I was thinking like really unhinged, fully murderous, terrifying sort of,
I can see sort of both of them doing that.
That's what I thought, like they could both pull that off, because Dano does that in Looper. He's like a really sort of over the top, like, yeah, I, again, he's the sort of actor that just, I genuinely believe he could do just about anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, also, side note, but not too much of a side note. Have you seen his first film that he directed with Jake Gyllenhaal and Carey Mulligan, actually? No, you say.
I don't think I have. What's it called? What's
Wildfire, I think it's called?
No, I've not. I will definitely watch that, though.
That's really impressive.
I mean, I, much like with Jake Gyllenhaal and Carey Mulligan, everything Dano does, I just enjoy. Like, he's just always got something about him. That,
yeah, he definitely has.
He's also a bit of a chameleon. Like, quite often you go, wait a minute, is that Paul?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that him? And I figured Daniel Radcliffe, because he's just, he's got like a real charm to him.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart, isn't he?
I watched something with him in the other day. Horns. I watched Horns.
Oh, Horns. I really like that.
Yeah, I completely forgot to say that in my watches. But yeah, I watched Horns, and it wasn't quite as good as I'd remembered it from when I first watched it years ago. Yeah. But he kind of makes the whole film, pretty much. He's just excellent. And you watch him in pretty much anything. So like Escape from Pretoria that he was in, that was
really good. Like,
yeah, and again, he makes the film because he sort of becomes the character, but he's still himself, and you can still go, oh, it's Daniel Radcliffe, and he's super cute.
But also, did you draw those two together? You might have done it not realizing, but they star opposite each other in Swiss Army Man.
I did think that afterwards. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure they've been in stuff together. But no, it was more just I started picturing Daniel Radcliffe in this role, and then I thought, but do you know who else would be great for it? and so I kind of was like, oh, I'll just say both. But yeah, no, I've seen Swiss Army Man. But
another great film from A24.
So that's going on the watch list too. I've got so many to go to the ever growing films to watch. But so I'm now going to give you my bonus character. This was outside of the brief, but I just really delivered it. So I know I mentioned Nick Jonas earlier for the eunuch character, because Nick Jonas is genuinely quite funny. He was in Jumanji. He actually really made me laugh. And
I haven't seen it.
It's in the new ones. He's in those. Yeah. He's not in them much, but he is in them. And I thought, do you know what would be fun? Like, he seems like he's got a sense of humor. He's really short, actually. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, he is short.
Like, super short. But I say super short. He's like the same height as me, which is super short. but I wanted him either as the eunuch, and then I thought, actually, I would rather have him in this mystery role, which is he can be the guy that they're stealing from, like as a villain. And I figured he could be some sort of baron, something like that. And just like really like insecure, just sort of unpleasant. Like,
yeah,
that would be fun to see him do that. And yeah, so that's kind of my thing. That's
nice. I like that. That's a good list.
Yeah. So go on, hit me with yours, and then we'll work out what's best.
Okay. Right. So I'm actually going to think of a role as I go for each one. So much like you, I've gone with my favorite actors who I would just like to see all together, really. Like, well, yeah, dream cast. So off the top, no surprises here, I've got Bill Murray. Right, love Bill Murray so much. And I was thinking I'd quite like to see him as like an executioner.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just thought kind of in his comedic way, but then also just like horrifically violent. I like the idea of that.
Murray works perfectly for an executioner because of that like real deadpan style. But I think you could put him in basically any role and it would work.
Yeah, he also kills zombies in The Dead Don't Die, so that's he works in that. That's good.
I've not seen that, but that is, I need to watch that. That's
a good one. Always. So then I've got another old boy who they can. Well, actually, that could work. I'm going to cast Harrison Ford, and I'm going to have him as a swordsmith, and he can make Bill Murray's executioner weapons.
Nice. So he makes like the big axes and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you need to cast someone as the tailor to make his hood?
Okay, I'll chat that for someone down the bottom. Okay, right, okay, thank you very much. Okay, so then I've got my one and only woman, which is a shame. I didn't realise I've got such an all-male cast, but I'm going to go for Olivia Colman because, you know, she's just
good shout.
Fantastic actor, and I... and always have been obsessed with Peep Show, and so that's my draw there.
Again, she's one that you could kind of put her in any role, and she can make it work, and she doesn't always get enough scope to be funny, but I think if you put her next to Bill Murray, I think that makes her very interesting.
Oh, that would be sick.
That would be very interesting.
It would be good, and I'm going to have her as the ringleader. She can be one. She can be the Gandalf of the group.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so then I've got, again, because I watched his films last week and I love him, but we've got Willem Dafoe. What can Willem do? He's quite good at being kind of like unhinged. So
yeah, Green Goblin. Just have him be the Green
But instead of like the goblin's hoverboard, he can like, I don't know, ride a horse. No, I'm gonna have him as like this sneaky little pickpocket character.
Yes, like a little hobbit man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd pay to see
on that. Some form of flying object, like an eagle or something.
Yeah, and like an eagle glider with little explosive like pumpkin bombs.
Someone should make that character. Look at the merchandising for that alone.
Well, it looks very much like the Green Goblin. So you basically just paint his glider to look like an eagle, and it's done.
Oh, I really want to make one. Oh dear! Right, who else have I got after Willem? Oh, I've got Jamie Foxx because he's just cool, yeah. Isn't he? Like, and I'm thinking maybe like a wizard, like a crazy, powerful wizard with again like a staff or a sword. I'm not fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you filled the role of my next one. I think I'm going to have Johnny Depp because I love Johnny Depp, and you know he's extremely versatile, and I can see him playing a little tailor to make the crew's tunics.
Yeah, you know what? He would work as a tailor. I don't know what it is about him, but he has the look of a man who, like, if you walked past him on the street, you'd believe that he had some sort of weird, outdated job.
Yeah, like it's good with needles.
Yeah,
that was no joke intended. There.
I think if you were to meet him on the street and have no idea who he was, you would probably think he was some sort of cobbler.
God, I wish I'd meet him on the street.
He looks like he actually has a house not far from where we live.
He does. Wait, have I told you the story? I won't keep going off like this, but it's too cool not to. So this was quite a few years ago now. I was on my motorbike and I had, who was on the back? I think I had Liz on the back. Yeah. Anyway, so we're riding through Hastings and I see this couple, like their backs, they're walking the same direction I'm riding. I'm like, God, they look quite a lot like Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter. And I ride past and I promise you it was them. It was up on, I'm not going to say where we are, but on a famous stretch of road from where we live. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And I was driving at the time and I was like, no, it's not them. And I got home and I was like, oh, it definitely was them. I should have pulled over.
Well, I mean, you did mention a minute ago where we live.
Yeah. All right. We're in Hastings.
I mean, this is sort of feeds straight into what I was about to say anyway. It's a pretty like world famous historic area. So,
oh, yeah.
It's, I don't know, again, Tim Burton's the sort of man you would just expect to come and look around like old medieval ruins just for a laugh.
Yeah, just for Tim Burton's sake.
He also looks very much like someone who would come from our hometown, which is
he does.
The weirdest people on the planet.
Yeah, I love him.
And Helena Bonham Carter, to be fair, she's terrifying.
I don't know what it is. I have the weirdest crush on Helena Bonham Carter. I don't know why.
Oh no! Don't get me wrong. I did as a like a teenager. She was one of my celebrity crushes. I think
she's just so mental.
Yeah, yeah. She is. She's kind of scary, but that this danger. We're drawn to danger.
Mate, keep you on your toes. Right. Let me. How many on? 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got one more. Right. So, and I've got my boy, Ewan McGregor, bringing it around the rear. I'm gonna say.
Oh. Right.
So. Actually, talking of rears, I'm going to have him play a horse whisperer, but like he's got to have his big like ginger beard that he grows, like because he just grows the best ginger beard.
Do you know what? I'm just gonna. I think I was gonna ask if you wanted to pick which one of ours was better, or whether you wanted to kind of do a weird mashup of the two where we took the best parts of each. But I think hands down, I'm going to say your cast is way better than mine.
I don't know.
I do think. You could benefit from some Nicolas Cage in there.
I definitely could mix that in. Who could I get rid of, though?
I don't know. See, that's really tricky.
Be Harrison Ford, because let's be honest, he probably wouldn't want to be in it anyway.
Yeah, probably. You could have Nicolas Cage as a mad blacksmith. Like, that would work.
That probably would work.
And I do think, like, Daniel Radcliffe, maybe, or Dano, but I think Radcliffe would be slightly better for the role. Because he can be quite good at playing, like terrifying. I think if you could get him in there somewhere as well, that would be spot on, because your cast is quite old, I'll be honest.
They are old.
I think, what, it's either Depp or McGregor that's the youngest of them, surely.
I don't know. I feel like Olivia Colman's...
I think she's around the same age as them. They've all got to be...
Yeah,
40s. Yeah, 40. Sort of somewhere in their 40s. I don't know.
Well, the youngest has got to be, because, I mean, Johnny Depp's got... Well, no, I'm going to say they're in their 50s.
I mean, Johnny Depp has the look of old leather. Like, he's aged. he still looks good, but he's looking old
beautiful.
Now.
Beautiful. Yeah, he is.
He's had a hard life, and it's just, you know, I fully support Johnny Depp.
Yeah, same. But that's for another podcast, that one. Yeah,
I'm going to ramble about that another day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I think your cast, like, so mine was kind of... Much like my brain, mine was quite eclectic. I was just like,
scrambled.
I'm taking that one. Oh, I want that one. And it was like looking into a magpie's nest. Mine. It's like, you know what? I don't care how these people put together.
That you've just summed up your brain perfectly.
Yeah. And that's, do you know what? It's a completely off topic, but I don't really care. People who say they have ADHD because they can't concentrate, I challenge you to live for a day like me where I literally cannot do anything whatsoever. It's just constant thought after thought after thought, and none of them are connected ever. It's horrifying, and you live like that until you are so exhausted that you literally drop, and that's it. My life.
I don't envy that part of it. It explains your creativity, though. Your madness.
Yeah, it's got its bonuses, but I think your car there was a lot more coherent than mine. Mine was just sort of, I like this person, they're fun, and you know,
that's how
whereas
they
yours I think would make a much more cohesive kind of team. And I also think, I don't know why, mine I was picturing is like very colorful and like sort of quirky fantasy, whereas yours I can picture it would be funny, but it would be quite dark and quite,
it's going to be bleak.
You know, I'm picturing, you know, like the medieval village with like muddy puddles everywhere. Yeah,
that is exactly what's going in my head.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we need to make this film.
Right. I'll get on the phone.
Well, do you know what? If we can't get all of those, I reckon we could get Depp. I reckon he would just be like, do you know what? Why not?
Hell yeah.
I feel like he would do just about anything. I reckon Nicolas Cage probably would.
I mean, yeah, have you seen his IMDb credits? It's just through the roof.
He's just as unpredictable, man. I reckon we could get him. I don't know about Bill Murray. Maybe. I don't know.
Bill Murray is no talk. Again, can we do a Bill Murray episode? Because that man is just the most interesting human being to walk the earth. He is one of a kind.
That sounds like fun. I think we could. And do you know what? If we can't get the actors... I think Olivia Colman would, just because she seems so nice. Like, I think she would just come and do it just as a favour to a stranger.
Just down the road from my cousin as well, so I'll get him to go knock on her door.
Nice. Well, we've already gotten in. Even if we just get Colman and between me and you, we could play every other character.
Get Colman and they'll all follow suit, honestly.
I reckon Daniel Radcliffe would do that too. I reckon...
Definitely.
Olivia Colman was there. I reckon Radcliffe had come along.
They should play mother-son in a role somehow.
I would actually weirdly like to see them as a couple.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Daniel Radcliffe is one of the actors that I think, if I could like have a drink with any actor, he would be one of them. Because I just think he reminds me of my brother.
Yes.
I don't know why, but he looks like my brother. And
I can see that.
Okay, so basically, I think the long and the short of it is you've won the games of this episode.
I don't know. We should take it to a poll at some point.
We should. That would be a good idea. So I keep forgetting to say this, but our next segment does actually have a name, and I'm pretty sure I've never once spoken it out loud.
No, this is news to me. What is it?
Well, it's had a name since I conceived the podcast. So, this is the news segment, which... every time I write my notes of like the episode before we record, I just write in capital letters, what's going on? Because it makes me laugh. So
is that the segment name?
Yeah, that's what I've always referred
to. How have you not remembered that?
I don't know, because every time I write it in all caps, I sing myself the Four Non Blondes song.
One, remind me.
Do you want me to sing it?
I genuinely don't know what you're on about.
Do you remember the He-Man video?
Oh, yeah.
That's the one.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. So what's going on? Should we talk news, movie news?
Tell me, what's going on?
Well, as we mentioned at the start, we have got like a month's worth of news. And to be honest, there is not a whole lot of it. It's a
lot of trailers.
Yeah, there's a few trailers. But a couple of the trailers that we were going to talk about have since been released.
Christ, that's how long it's been.
Yeah, so I've had to strike a few from the list. Should we do trailers first? Let's talk about the trailers first.
Let's do trailers.
So the first trailer I've got actually came out 3 weeks ago now, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's for a film called Sweet Girl, which I saw and was like, oh, that could be good. But it did not seem to generate much buzz. So who knows?
No.
But it's got Mr. Jason Momoa in it.
Your favourite?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say favourite, but he's fun. He seems like a nice guy. I think that's why I support him, because he seems fun.
Yeah.
He seems like he's nice to his fans and he has a laugh. It's a revenge film, which is a genre that I feel like doesn't really get much representation. But
it doesn't, does it?
Probably for good reason. Like, it's very self-serious. You can't do funny in a revenge film.
I don't know. You think of the big one, Kill Bill, that's funny.
It is, but that's Tarantino, and there's only one person who can carry Tarantino off, and that's Tarantino. So I think, I don't know. I don't know that revenge is, I think for your audience to take it seriously, you've got to do it seriously.
Yeah.
Whereas Kill Bill was, I think that's the exception to the rule, but
yeah,
you know, but it looked like fun. Like the trailer was well put together. It had Guns N' Roses playing Sweet Child of Mine. And it was all sort of edited to like to fit with it, and it was quite a cool trailer.
I can't stand Guns N' Roses. That song must be in 1,000 movie trailers,
probably. But do you know what? This is again super off topic, but I need to share this with you. I don't know, like 5-6 years ago, I had tickets to go and see AC/DC, and.
Ooh.
It was when Brian Johnson had to like step down, and then they announced that Axl Rose was going to be singing instead. And I couldn't get on to return the tickets because the server crashed the day that they announced Axl Rose would be replacing him. The server crashed with refunds. And yeah, that's fun. But the film itself, Sweet Girl, looks like it might be all right. It's something to do with Jason Momoa's wife. Is she dies due to some sort of medical pharmaceutical issue, like the tablet she needs or whatever that aren't available, or they offer some sort of treatment that they then take away or something like that, and it ends in her death.
Right,
and he's got like a I think teenage daughter, and him and this teenage girl basically go on the warpath. I don't think the girl kills anyone, but
that's a shame.
I don't know. But yeah, Sweet Girl. Might be worth watching. Might be awful. When it comes out, I'll watch it and I'll let you know. So another trailer, which has come out in the last couple of days, actually, is a new A24 film. And as we've sort of discussed before, they can't really do any wrong.
We love A24.
They've not really set a foot wrong yet. Then their new latest film, not their latest film, the latest trailer is for a film called Lamb. Have you heard about it, seen it at all? Do you know anything
It's on the trailer watch list. I did read about it somewhere, maybe like Empire. I can't remember. But anyway, I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Oh, look at you reading Empire, getting serious about this whole...
Mate, I used to love Empire magazine. Then I realised I'm too poor for that, and it just makes... There's just so much paper everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I did get it for a while, and then I was like, do you know what? I got a life to pay for. I can't afford
exactly
to be paying for this when it's all free on the internet.
Yeah.
But no, Lamb, it is really weird looking. The general premise is, I think, that this woman is raising this weird lamb human hybrid and it turns bad somehow.
Wonder why.
I believe it's based on some sort of Nordic folktale. But I honestly, again, like with A24, does it matter what it's about, really? No. Like, we're going to watch it. We're going to like it. It looks creepy. It looks slightly funny. Just interesting, I guess, would be my name takeaway from the trailer. So, yeah, when you get a chance to watch it, let me know your thoughts.
I'm going to do that this evening.
I'd like to hear what you have to say. The only other trailer that I've got here to talk about is a new trailer for The Night House, which is a horror film. There's been a big buzz around it for the last couple of years, actually.
I actually know nothing about that.
No, so it was announced like 2 years ago and I guess just delayed and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but as always.
It was shown at Sundance and critics went mad for it. So it must be decent. This new trailer supposedly sheds more light on it, on sort of what's going to happen. It showcases the, I believe the write-up said, mind-bending setting, which I guess is the titular Night House. I will be honest, and I could not make any sense of the trailer whatsoever. It was just...
Really? Like, was it that weird?
It was like they'd taken all the film's jump scares and squashed them into like 45 seconds and then just added weird, creepy music. It didn't grab me particularly, but
no.
I enjoy a good horror film. So if if critics are saying it's good, then I will most likely watch it when it comes out.
Yeah, definitely.
But so that's all I've got on my list for trailers. But Jack, I understand there's one trailer that I, for some reason, have not watched and you have, and I would like to hear all about it, please.
Okay. Well, it doesn't really need too much hyping up because the hype is already the same, but it was the trailer for, well, it already has been a trailer and a teaser, you know, and they just kind of like, they drip feed stuff for months. But anyway, it was the new trailer for Ghostbusters, which I am so, so excited for because they're bringing the boys back. They're all coming, well, apart from...
I was going to say, all? Really, Jack?
Yeah, sorry. Apart from Harold Ramis, rest in peace. But yeah,
I mean, so I've not seen this trailer, but
yeah,
from what I remember from what's come out about it, about the film, I mean, sort of months ago, if not years ago now, is it not that I cannot remember what was Harold Ramis' character called again?
Egon,
thank you. Spangler?
Spengler.
Spangler. Sounds like a really bad insult, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, you flipping Spangler.
Actually, it sounds a bit homophobic.
Yeah, I don't like that. Let's not use that.
No, we won't, you know.
Put it together.
From what I remember, his character in sort of in canon will have died. And doesn't it follow like his family?
So Finn Wolfhard, who is the kid of the minute, like everyone bloody loves this guy, and I personally think he's all right, but I don't think he's that good. So I think he plays his grandson, and they don't give too much away, but Spengler has died, and he's left his family a farmhouse in which is the Ecto, and the kids find it, and then there's a kind of cool shot of them driving through a crop with like all the kind of like ghost guns hanging outside the car. It looks quite cool.
Nice.
And the big takeaway from the new one was that at the very end, they play the in-film advert that the guys do promoting their business for Ghostbusters. And the new characters call it, and a hand comes into shot to answer the phone, and it's Dan Aykroyd. You don't see him, but you can hear his voice.
Nice.
So that's super cool. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I think it's been confirmed that all of them are in it. What's her name? Annie Potts, the receptionist. She is in the trailer, so that's cool.
Oh, nice. Oh, so it sounds like a proper, like, return to form. Because, I mean,
yeah,
let's not talk about that other.
No.
Yeah, I don't think they tried hard enough to make it, like, something different. Like, they're kind of just like, oh, let's just sort of reboot it and we'll just...
Yeah.
Like, I know... It's going to sound sexist, and I don't mean it to sound sexist, but I honestly think the whole idea of rebooting it with a female cast was basically a gimmick. It was like
pandering, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, kind of. Like, don't get me wrong. I've not got a problem at all with it being a female cast. I don't...
Oh, not at all. Neither do I.
I actually quite liked, especially Melissa McCarthy's character, I thought was... It was an interesting
she
character.
She was, yeah.
I don't know why they couldn't have put her with, like... I don't know, you know, they could have inserted her into the original team maybe and done it like that. Whereas they just kind of like, I don't know. And they were big boots to fill. And
massive. It was, yeah, on one hand, it should do really well because it's a super, super well-loved property. But then, like you said, you've then got to try and the impossible and try and make it like... almost a teen, you know, you're never going to get it as good, but you've got to get it near good, as good as the original, but that's just impossible.
Well, I mean, I do think that I think this new one, Afterlife, I think is going to be, I think it will be as good, not in the same way maybe, but I think it will have that,
the magic,
that same sort of charm. Yeah, and I think there'll be probably some quite predictable, like, passing of the torch moments. And
oh, yeah, definitely.
I think
I'm going to go watch it in my uniform.
Nice, nice. That sounds... I mean, do you want me to come with you just to make sure you don't get beat up?
Mate, I will throw hands if anyone tries to fight me.
No one's going to fight a Ghostbuster.
No, exactly.
It'd be fine. No, that's... Yeah, that is very exciting. And
yeah, that's all I've got for that.
So we have got other news, and it's a bit eclectic because some of it is a little bit old now, but I will get rid of the one I think that's oldest. And let's talk about Amazon very briefly before we move straight on to something else. Amazon purchased MGM a few weeks ago, which basically... That's kind of the end of what I have to say about that, because
that is the death of cinema.
Well, it is and it isn't. Like, I just think people make such a big deal about these things. And don't get me wrong, I hate billionaires as much as the next guy. In fact, I hate them more than the next guy.
Yeah.
But no, I think Amazon purchasing MGM, I don't think they're going to do anything at all. I think they're going to keep it running as was, just they're going to take the profits. You know,
I don't know. Scary though. We'll see.
It's, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. But it's no different than Disney purchasing Marvel. And when that happened, everyone was like, oh no, it's just going to be awful. And you know what? It was probably the best thing that ever happened to Marvel. And a lot of people aren't particularly happy with the Star Wars sequels, but I think Disney did make them, something special, and it might not have been what certain people wanted. And you know, I don't like the fact that they scrapped the whole extended universe or whatever they call it now. They've changed the name, haven't they, to like
expanded universe.
Yeah, but they changed it. What have they called it now? They've like changed all the
legends,
something like that. Like they changed
legends.
Yeah, but I don't like that. But I did enjoy the sequel films, and I thought they had quite a few little nods to the legend stuff. Like the whole character of Ben Solo was ripped almost directly from that, and just they tweaked the name and, you know, stuff like that. I just think Amazon buying MGM, again, do MGM really make great films anymore? Because
I don't know, but they're like the golden age of you know, of cinema. They're one of the big names.
They were, but I mean, their biggest thing, so this is kind of the point I thought we could talk about a little bit, is their biggest thing is James Bond. And it's basically Amazon buying it. It's just led to a lot of speculation about who the next Bond's going to be. I know it's been something that people have talked about for years and years now. And you know, there's a couple of big names chucked around quite a lot. Idris Elba's the biggest one, and I mean, he does seem the most likely candidate. He's the right sort of age. He's very cool. He's got a good sort of action movie background now. You know, he would be a logical choice, but I don't think they're going to go with a logical choice, personally. No,
they'll throw a curveball, won't they?
Yeah, have you got any hot picks for...
I don't know. For you, Niall, I've got all the hot picks. I've got to be honest, I don't... I like Idris Elba, I just don't really rate him. I just... He kind of gives the same kind of performance, I feel like. I don't know.
Yeah, every time I look at him, all I see is the adverts, the broadband.
Like, yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't, like... not watch it. Like, I do enjoy James.
Oh, no, yeah. Generally speaking, I'm sure he'd kill it.
I've seen most of them. I think the most recent one I've not seen, what was it called?
You are not missing Spectre. Much. Spectre, that was awful.
Maybe I have seen Spectre. I can't. Is that the one with the Day of the Dead at the start and, like, all the...
I honestly can't remember. It's Christoph Waltz is the bad guy again.
Yeah, no, I have seen it. I didn't think much of it, really. It was okay, but, you know, Skyfall was kind of the last good one. And then there's this new one...
Great.
Either coming out or it's already out, or I don't know. I'm finding it hard to care. Like, it's like, I don't really care. And that's the whole gimmick, is like, oh, but every few films we're going to recast the actor, and then people will watch it again to see what it's like. And I just sort of feel a bit, okay, but what's the point? Like, I enjoy Sean Connery, like, to go back and watch those, like, the proper, like, 60s cool, like, that's fun. Roger Moore, it got a bit campy, but they're still sort of fun in a different way. And then it got really serious, and I just thought, I don't know, it's not fun anymore. It's just sort of like gritty spy action. And Daniel Craig is, I find him really dull, at least as James Bond. Like, he's been in stuff that he's been really good, but in James Bond, I just find him really dull.
Interesting.
And, you know, I think... they could maybe do like what Doctor Who do, and they could cast someone that no one's expecting.
That'd be cool.
I don't think they will. I think because it's got
play it safe.
You know, it's like a 60-year-old franchise. They're gonna go with like some cool action movie guy, and it's gonna be more of the same. And I still won't care. So
no,
you know, I think Amazon buying MGM doesn't have a lot of bearing on that. I mean, we'll see what happens, I guess, with the rest of it. But
yeah.
I just think, it, like Disney are doing or have done, I think they're just all posturing, and all these big companies are just going to buy up all the studios they can. Like,
they're just monopolizing, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean...
Is that a word? I just made that up.
Yeah, no. No, you've used that perfectly.
Oh, look at me.
I just think it's going to... You're just going to have these sort of titans of entertainment. You're going to have your Disney, your Amazon, you'll have Netflix.
You know, everything.
Yeah, and it's basically going to be like they have a hand in just about everything. You've got, obviously, you've got like Warner Media. But, you know, I just think it's sort of non-news now. Like, we should just expect massive corporations to buy everything.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, basically. Depressing, but there we go.
Life.
So the other kind of news that I had for last week when we were going to record, so again, this is sort of old news now, but the new Star Trek movie, I don't know, are you a Star Trek fan? We've never really...
I'm not a Trekkie.
I love Star Trek. I will be honest, and I'll say I've not watched every TV series that they've done. I am a big fan of the original series and Next Generation, and I enjoy all of the films they've done. I've enjoyed, so I'm quite excited for the new one. And that's been announced that Matt Shackman is going to be directing.
Who the flip is that?
Matt Shackman is... So he's kind of a big name at the moment because he did WandaVision.
Oh, I thought I recognised that.
He also directed episodes of Fargo, Game of Thrones, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, stuff like that.
Oh, so it should be in good hands then.
So, yeah, it should be. I mean, I'm quite excited for the prospect that it's moving away a little bit from kind of... It was in that... So there's been three new films since the reboot. And I guess if you're not a big fan, you probably won't really have taken much...
No.
But they rebooted it in 2009, which I thought was a really good film. They did quite a clever little thing with like a... They did like an alternate timeline so they could make a good film using the original characters without feeling sort of... constricted by
But they got a bit more freedom.
Yeah, yeah, they can kind of go in whatever direction they want. The second one did quite well. Into Darkness, Star Trek Into Darkness, it was called. It had Benedict Cumberbatch in it.
Oh, that's right.
I personally didn't enjoy it quite as much. I thought it was a bit like, it sort of relied on a twist that was a twist it had literally stolen from from one of the older Star Trek films that, you know, I'm sort of being careful not to spoil this film that's 9 years old, but you know, it was a good film. I just thought, like, in terms of the story, they hadn't been as clever. They'd kind of recycled some bits, but still fun. Then there was another one that I was just like, do you know what? This is more of the same now. Like, do something new, because this is getting a little bit
old.
But I do like Chris Pine as Captain Kirk. I think he's actually really good in the role. Zachary Quinto is excellent. I love him. He's Spock, and he looks perfect as Spock. And then you've got, like, Simon Pegg is Scotty, and that's really cool. Good. I like that Simon Pegg is involved.
Well, he's with JJ, isn't he?
Well, exactly, but he's also like a big sci-fi fan, big Star Trek fan, so
oh yeah,
you know, again, like, you know that someone who has got a lot of love for Star Trek is involved, and that, you know,
always a good thing.
Yeah, it also had Anton Yelchin as
what's
his face, Chekhov, and that's really sad because I loved
him. That's terrible.
And so they kind of like killed off the character and like retired it. Obviously they're not going to
retire it,
but that was really sad that he's, you know, gone.
No longer with us.
Yeah. But no, I'm excited for this new one. It's set for a summer release in 2023. So a little while to wait yet.
But it's not.
It is.
Why the hell would you even announce that?
Well, they've only announced the director. They've not announced like anything.
Right, okay. But,
it's just, to me, that's sort of exciting that there's kind of a new pair of hands
involved.
And, you know, that, yeah. So
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the old news, at least. That's kind of the newer stuff is, we'll blitz through this newer stuff because it's not as interesting, to be honest. But F9, the new Fast and Furious. That is going to be released to on-demand services on Friday this week. So hopefully that is the day after this podcast goes out, or possibly the day that it goes out, depending on how quickly I can edit it. So if you're excited about watching that, you know, I know I'm not
particularly.
I will watch it at some point because I've seen all the others, and, you know, if nothing else, I just like to make fun of them. Like, they're so ridiculous now, and
it's too easy. And
I mean, yeah, the internet's kind of caught on as well. Like, have you seen all the family like memes?
Yes, I'm glad that was a short-lived meme because that was absolutely awful.
It was, but it was also funny because anything that makes fun of Vin Diesel is worth a laugh.
Yeah, I'll give you that one,
Mr. Vincent Diesel. His real, do you know what his real name is? So,
no, go on.
So, Vin Diesel's real name is, so I know I do these quite often on the minis and they really make me laugh. I don't like to laugh out loud on the minis because it's just me and it doesn't, like, it sounds really weird when you laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
But Vin Diesel's real name is Mark Sinclair.
I don't know why that's funny. It just is.
So, yeah. Yeah, there's that. But that also sort of leads us into a couple of new releases, which are two films we've talked about fairly recently. The Green Knight has been released, and
awesome.
I've not watched it yet. It's only been out a couple of days.
I've not watched it.
It has gotten excellent reviews.
Surprisingly.
It's supposedly really, really good. Maybe that's something we should go and see.
I'm waiting to go see that at the cinema.
Yeah, maybe we should do it and then do a review. Yeah, that sounds fun. That's kind of it about The Green Knight, really. It's reviewing really well. I have deliberately stayed away from any real stuff because I don't want to spoil it for myself.
No.
But another film that I was excited about that has been released that has not had good reviews is Old.
Oh, really?
People are making fun of it like left, right, and center.
Is that just because it's Shamalama Lamanam?
I think partly, I mean, to be honest, he is a bit hit and miss. Like,
he definitely is.
He, for every Sixth Sense, there's a Last Airbender, you know? Yeah. But yeah, he is a bit kind of hit and miss. And I was really hoping that it would be good because the trailer looked good. And it looked quite sort of semi-scary.
Cool premise.
Yeah, I'm still going to watch it. I'm not one to be put off by reviews. I enjoy reviewing films that other people hate. You know, I find
it's always interesting.
Fun
isn't it?
To give them a fair shake. So I will watch it and I'll share my thoughts. But it's not reviewing well. But oddly enough, it still topped the box office for last weekend. Yeah, it was a slow weekend. It got like 16 million. So not a massive amount.
No.
But it beat out two other fairly high profile releases, which I cannot remember what they are. crazy stuff.
Crazy.
I am just going to do a quick shout because the last couple of episodes we've recorded, I follow a guy on Instagram who he does a really handy news roundup at the end of the week with just sort of like the main film headlines, which I, until then, I'd been going to like Screen Rant and scrolling through, and they post so much and it's a bit excessive and a lot of it isn't particularly relevant, like we said earlier. So I was sort of going to Screen Rant, then I was going to Empire, then I was going to Here, There and Just About Everywhere. And this guy, he does film reviews on Instagram and he does a little news like roundup for each week, which is really, really helpful. So
makes our job easier.
It does, definitely. So I just wanted to give him a little shout, really, because I felt it was only fair. Like, if he was listening, I believe he possibly follows me, I'm not sure. But if he does and he listens to the podcast, he's going to go, hold on a minute. So if you're interested, please go and follow at Oliver's Reviews on Instagram. That's Oliver's _ reviews.
Check him out. Shout outs to him.
Yeah, thank you.
Hold on. If we're doing shouts out.
Yeah, go on.
That's good. If we're doing shout outs, big shout out to my boy Charlie, little baby Charlie, who is my cousin's firstborn. He is not old enough to understand what's going on, but I know, Michael, you're listening. So what's up, Charlie and Michael and Ellie?
Yeah, congratulations on is it Charlie?
Yeah, he's a cool little guy. He's a perfect baby. Like, if you think of like a Pixar baby, actually, like, just perfect.
Can I
baby.
Just say the official line is all babies are perfect, but
I beg to differ. I've seen some hideous babies.
I was gonna say some babies do look like they're not finished. So
just hit like random on like the sim creator.
So Charlie, I hope. Sincerely hope that your parents are putting on the Corner Film podcast for you.
Whilst you sleep.
Yeah, just to settle in, you know. Mini Corner Film t-shirt in the post, I think.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Let's should we design him like a fun little baby?
Probably definitely should.
Yeah, that would be good. Well, hopefully he's our youngest fan now.
I think he's got to be.
At least, do you know what? There's a real market there. Baby podcasts. We could do.
I can just picture it now.
Should we review Cocomelon episodes?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
So Cocomelon is like, I think it started as a YouTube channel, but it's on Netflix now and kids love it. It's like really poorly animated, like family with a really creepy baby. And they just sing. It's like each episode is like an hour long and they just sing.
Hour?
So my kids, not quite as much my daughter because she's a little bit older, but my son loves Cocomelon.
That's terrifying.
And it is terrifying, but maybe we should review some Cocomelon for the kids.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll watch one before I go to bed tonight.
No, that was that was a bit of a tangent, but can I just say, I feel like we should do some shout outs at the end of each episode.
Yeah, let's do a shout out
next time. We'll do them at the end. We'll move on to the next segment, which is pet peeves.
Cool.
I'd almost forgotten the pet peeves, but I know usually we have a bit of trouble thinking of them.
I've actually got one for once.
Well, do you know what? I've started keeping a list in my phone of pet peeves.
Same.
As I watch things. So I had two come up from something about a month ago, and I can't even remember what film it was now, but I had two come up from the same film. And the other day when I watched Horns, which again I enjoyed, but there were two things in that I was like, That really annoys me when they do that in films.
Yeah, what was that then?
Well, I'll share those at a later date, but I've got them in my sort of list, so I will have
sit on those.
Reserve of like annoying movie things. The one I've brought along today is a good one. Do you want to go first, Jack? You usually go first. I don't want to.
I can do.
You go first. You go first. Let me. Okay. I'll jump in the gun there.
No, that's all right. Mine's kind of, yeah, it's an obvious one, but, well, it might not be. But anyway, one of the main things that I really can't stand is when films hire celebrities who can't act, and not just like a little cameo, like, because if it's like tongue-in-cheek, like the film's based in a real world, and you go, here's Rihanna or something, but like when they actually hire Rihanna to act in Battleship, whatever the hell it was, it fully takes me out of it, like entirely. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it is really frustrating when they do that. That is annoying. But
so annoying.
Can I just point out, as soon as you said that, one exception did jump straight to my mind. Do you remember in Funny People where Eminem pops up?
Yeah, fair enough.
That was funny. But again, he's actually a pretty good actor, to be fair.
He can act, yeah.
So, I mean, he can at least act for like small parts like that. Like, he was good in 8 Mile, but he was basically playing a fictionalized version of himself. So probably
it wasn't too much of a stretch. Oh, do you know who comes to mind actually really quickly is Rita Ora, right? I've seen her in like 2 or 3 films. She cannot act to save her life.
You know, I've not seen her in anything.
This is how forgettable she is. She is in Southpaw. I think she plays a prostitute.
You're right.
Like she opens the door through like a little chain link thing, and it's just like, you really had to hire Rita Ora. Like she can't act.
She's breaking into film by opening that thing.
Yeah.
That's her doorway into film.
Yeah, but that's a metaphor, clearly, because the door won't quite open. It's just on that little bit of...
She couldn't get through. No, wow. That is a good one. I hadn't really thought too much about it, but no, you're right. Can you think of any examples other than Rihanna? Because I'm drawing a bit of a blank, but I know there's more.
Victoria, who else is there? Well, arguable, but... I mean, she kind of is an actress, but Cara Delevingne, I don't really rate either, to be honest.
No, do you know what? Everything I've seen her in, I have thought, you are awful. Why are people hiring you? Like, Suicide Squad was not a good film. I don't care what anyone says. I know some people liked it. It was bad. It was a jumble. None of the characters meant anything to me. I did not care about any of them whatsoever.
No.
And her least of all. She was just a nothing. Like, she brings nothing to the screen. And it's, why have you hired this woman?
Yeah, why?
You know, and then off the back of that, they hired her for Valerian, which was like a massive deal. And it was awful.
I heard that was bad.
I didn't even watch all of it. It's one of the few films that I watched about 20 minutes and went, do you know what? There's no point watching this because I can't watch it. I mean, and I have sat through some real like
stinkers.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you. Hit me with yours.
Okay. So mine is, you know, when you're watching a film and
I do know,
well, I'd hope so. Okay, I'm going to come at this a different way.
I've thrown you off. Go on.
Okay, so we are of a very sort of specific age group where, as we were kids, there was a real 3D craze, but it was before 3D.
Yes.
Right? So it was when you used to have to wear the little red and blue glasses and it made everything go all grainy and like weirdly coloured, and it still didn't really work. So, you know, I think there's a few films there that use this sort of 3D thing of like, there was a novelty of, but it's coming out of the screen at me. The one that springs to mind is Spy Kids 3D.
Oh, you son of a... I knew you were going to come for that. I love that film much.
Don't get me wrong. I love that film, right? That Spy Kids in general, I'm not going to ever... Actually, I'm going to review those soon because I love them. I need to watch them again.
Yes, please. I absolutely love them.
That's just the one that springs to mind as like an example of like the films where something was coming out of the screen at you, and it was that sort of like early noughties kind of. It wasn't very good, right? But in the years since, obviously 3D technology has come on a long way, and
getting there.
You still get moments in film where things come out the screen at you.
Yeah, they're just filmed for that purpose.
Yeah, and like just little shots, but you just think, what was the point in that? You know? Yeah. I'm not talking about stuff like Avatar, where it's this big epic and you watch it in 3D and it gives a sense of depth to it. And, you know, that is where 3D was used well. I'm not debating that. But a film, I enjoyed the film, but a little while ago I watched, what's it called? Sam Raimi, Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, I've got that. I've never watched it.
It's not a bad film. It's an okay horror film. I personally wasn't massively enthralled with it, but I enjoyed it. But there were several moments, and not just like little moments, like big kind of climactic moments where stuff is coming out of the screen at you. And you just know it was released in cinemas, like in 3D, and people were sat there and like, whoa. Yeah, but it is like you want to go woo every time it happens, and it breaks the immersion completely because it looks so stupid, especially when you're then watching them back. Because if you're watching, like, if you're streaming it or if you've got it on DVD, you know, most people at home don't have a 3D TV.
No.
And honestly, if you do, you've probably wasted your money. Because what's the point? It's not that exciting. Like, if you're going to the cinema and they've got the technology, fair enough, I guess. Fair. But I've never really enjoyed watching stuff in 3D. I think it's stupid.
From the IMAX.
I've never been to an IMAX. I'm going to admit that now.
Well, again, we'll put that in the,
on the list of things to do.
Because IMAX will blow your little socks off.
I bet. I'd probably struggle to contain myself. But, you know.
Probably will.
But no, I just think, you know, people are watching at home, like outside of the cinema experience, 3D is basically redundant.
Yeah.
So, you get all these moments that, like, you go back and watch films from even just like 10 years ago. I mean, I suppose to some people that's quite a long time, and in terms of technology, maybe that's quite a long time, but it's not that long ago, you know. And you watch a film from 10 years ago and you've got like stuff flying out the screen at you, and it's really obviously a 3D moment that
it's there for
it's
a
not
reason.
3D, it's not, it's just supposed to look like it, and it just looks really bad.
Yeah.
So that's kind of mine for this week. I know I just sort of really dragged me to hell through the mud, but that's kind of the worst offender that I've watched of late. But there are many films that do it.
Yeah.
And once you've like noticed it and been annoyed by it once, you'll start seeing it in stuff.
Yep.
Because there was a good decade where everyone was just sort of chucking them in. And there's a couple of times where I've seen it and then I've looked it up and the film was never released in 3D. So, okay, well, why was that a thing? Because
what was the point?
So that annoyed me. That just,
it's understandable.
Yeah. I guess so.
Hope you're all right.
Yeah. I mean, I am now. I've recovered a little bit, but come next time, there'll be something else. Yeah. Yeah. I'm always angry about something. So,
always.
That brings us to the end of today's podcast. I don't know if it's been a long one or not. We've been recording for quite a while. You, as always, can find us on the social medias at Corner of Film on everything. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You can now listen to the podcast on Amazon Music. You can listen to us on Spotify. You can listen to us on Podbean, and you can catch it on YouTube.
Cool.
I think that's it so far. I have applied for it to go onto Apple Podcasts and somewhere else, and I've still not heard back. So,
Apple.
Go and check it. Someone check it. If it's on Apple, drop us a message, and I will be very grateful.
We'll send you out a baby T-shirt.
No, we won't. Don't. No free.
Not yet.
Maybe for baby Charlie and no one else. I mean, you know. Okay, Jack, it is your turn this week for a quote, I believe.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think you're right.
So, have you got one prepared?
Within the last minute, yes. I'm looking around my room at my many, many pointless collectibles and toys. I'm going to go with, "There's a snake in my boot." How's that?
Excellent. Absolutely.
That's from one of my all-time favourite films.
It's a classic.
Great, great film.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, with that, I think it's time to sign off, really. As always, watch out for snakes in your boots.
Wait.
Okay, well, thank you, Jack, for being here.
Thank you very much, Niall, for another pleasurable podcast.
Yeah, yeah, and thank anyone else for listening.
Yep, thanks to you guys.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.